Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Do schools kill creativity?
Apparently, they do. In today's episode, we'll discuss some of the ideas presented by Sir Ken Robinson in his compelling TED Talk, which has been viewed over 70 million times, and it's ranked number one on the list of TED's most popular talks of all time.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Cassay from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
topical
way to learn English. So download this podcast while you're studying for an exam, out buying books, or even
watching a movie with a far-fetched storyline.
Okay, guys, so today I'm joined in the global studio by the one and only Chiago. How are you today?
Hey, Cassay. Hey, everyone. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually, I have no complaints. I think, you know, that's a funny line of questioning, don't you think? I don't know. I think in every language we ask people, how are they doing? And I think it's like the answer is always the same. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm well.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So you mentioned a really great word in the intro. You used the word compelling. What does that mean?
Yeah, something compelling is something inspiring and powerful, you know, something that really makes you think and reflect. So yeah, I would say something that inspires you and that it's powerful, you know.
So we could say that a story is compelling, like a book is compelling, a movie is compelling, something that really inspires you to take action or to do something in a particular way. You also mentioned the word topical. What is something topical? What does that mean?
Something topical is something that is relevant nowadays, yeah, in the current times that we are living in. So when I said that listening to podcasts is a topical way, we could consider that topical because the podcast medium has been growing in popularity more and more. More and more people are finding out about this new way, right, of consuming content. So yeah, podcasts, they are a topical way to learn English.
Yeah. So another great word you used was the word far-fetched. What is something far-fetched?
Oh, it's something really out of this world in the sense that it's not realistic. It's very hard to believe. It's not credible. So I said watching a movie with a far-fetched storyline. You know, that storyline or that plot that you go, oh, that could never happen in real life. It's really hard to believe in that or to buy into that. You know, so it's a perfect sentence, actually, because usually those movies are not very good because their storylines are so far-fetched. So you can leave one playing. You can mute that movie. Just leave it playing and listen to us now on the podcast.
That's great. So today's episode is all about education. And I'd like to know your thoughts on, you know, whether you think that the quality of education is slipping.
Right. Well, first of all, I think it's worth defining slipping here, yeah? So if I think the quality of education is slipping, what we mean by this is, do we think that the quality of education is decreasing? Okay, when something is slipping, something decreases in quality, it's not as good as maybe it once were, right? So, well, to give you my honest opinion, Cassay, I think that when we think of traditional schooling and public schools, I would say that in a way, yes, education is slipping a bit. And I can think of two reasons for that. Reason number one is there's a lot of focus on theory and not so much emphasis on practice. This is one pet peeve that I have with traditional education. And also, most of the subjects that are taught are usually not so practical for our day-to-day life. And I believe that there are other areas and other things that should be taught at schools that currently are not being taught. You know, what would you say about this?
I 100% agree with your point. I think that in terms of the quality of education slipping, I remember when I was a high school student, I hated math. And I hated it because I felt that my teacher really didn't care about whether or not I understood what she was teaching. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like she was there to explain. You know, she had a lesson plan and she was there to explain it. And whenever I'd ask questions, if I didn't get it, she'd make me feel as though I was just stupid or I was, you know, I was a slow learner. And I felt really annoyed by that. So I feel like when it comes to education slipping, I feel like it's been slipping for, as you said, you know, a long time. And I definitely think that it's gotten worse in many ways, because I feel like it's a cycle of sort of, you know, kids feeling like they're not good enough and feeling like the way I did, like I gave up on math. I was like, I'm not good at this. I'm giving up. And we sort of perpetuate that idea of not being good enough simply because, you know, we just weren't taught in the right way.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. And I think, you know, both of us are parents, right? So for us, this topic is very relevant because we have children who go to school or will be going to school soon. Yeah. So it's something that we actually worry about, right? The quality of education that our kids are getting, right, at schools. Kelsey, there is a very nice quote here, yeah, that I wanted to ask what you think about. So look, apparently this quote comes from Mark Twain, the author, and Mark Twain said, "Never let school interfere with your education." What are your thoughts on this?
I really like this quote. I feel like, you know, school is an institution. It's like a building with teachers who tell you what to do. But education is a totally, it's a personal process. It's like, I feel like education is self and school is external, you know, internal, external. So I feel like when we think of like our education, we make the choice to learn about things. We make the choice to, you know, watch YouTube tutorials, for example. We make the choice to, you know, buy that textbook or whatever your choice of learning is. Because I think that education happens outside of school. Education happens when we're doing whatever we're interested in. So we learn and we grow and we develop. And that is, life is education. We're learning all the time. And I think when we allow school, like sort of the rigidity, the structures, the strict sort of curriculums that make up like our schooling, I think when we think that that is what education is, I think we're so limited because we never sort of learn how to use it in the real world. And I think education happens outside of that building.
So. Nice. Well said, yeah. I really liked what you said about self, right? Education is self. It's something more internal, yeah? And school is usually something external. It's the building, it's the teachers, right? I really like that. And there's even the term, right? Lifelong education, right? Lifelong education or lifelong learning, which is this, let's say, principle or philosophy of you're always learning in your life. Yeah? You're always developing, always growing as an individual, yeah? As opposed to, oh, I'm only supposed to learn for, I don't know, 10, 15 years of my life. You know, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people think that once they graduate or they have that certificate, degree, diploma, whatever the qualification is that they have, they feel like they've reached the point. They're done. Mm-hmm. I'm done now. I can just go out and live. No, it doesn't end there.
That's true. Yeah.
I know we were talking about school, but I think when on the point of education, like if you think about like our generation, sort of growing up without computers and things like that, and then like, as we got older, you know, now we have smartphones and computers and we sort of had the best of both. I guess people our age would know like a life before technology was this advanced.
You know, listening to what you're saying now, yeah, I do believe that our generation is special in that regard, right? Because we are millennials, right? In theory, you know, our generation is called millennials. We grew up in a analog world, let's say, you know, where we didn't have the digital revolution so strong yet, right? But then when it happened, when the digital revolution happened, we were young enough to transition smoothly or well into technology, right? So like you said, we kind of got the best of both worlds. All right, so today we're going to be talking about this really nice TED Talk called Do Schools Kill Creativity by Ken Robinson. This is one of the most popular TED Talks of all time. And dear listeners, if you haven't watched it yet, we really recommend you do because, you know, some of the ideas here are really interesting. One of the points here that Sir Ken Robinson makes about that is that we all have talent, but traditional education usually kills those talents. Kansei, could you read the extract from the TED Talk that we have selected here?
Sure. And my contention is all kids have tremendous talents, and we squander them pretty ruthlessly. My contention is that creativity now is as important in education as literacy, and we should treat it with the same status.
Very nice. Some nice vocabulary here, right, Kansei? What is contention? My contention is. What does that mean?
So contention generally refers to sort of like a disagreement that results from opposing arguments. So like if there are two opposing arguments, the contention would be that disagreement between those two points or those two arguments.
Mm-hmm. So Sir Ken Robinson is making a point here. Yeah? He is stating something, yeah? His opinion, yeah? That all kids have tremendous talents, right? And there is the word squander, yeah? So kids have tremendous talents, and we, by we, I think he means society in general, yeah? Parents, teachers, we squander these talents. What does that mean to squander something?
So squander is a nice advanced word that basically means to waste something. So you can squander your money, you can even say you can squander your education, you can squander whatever you have, whatever you possess. And in this case, we're squandering the talent, we're wasting the talent that these kids have.
Right. And we do that pretty ruthlessly, as he says in the video, yeah? So if you do something in a ruthless way, how do you do that?
Someone who is ruthless or something that is done in a ruthless way is done in a very harsh and determined way, and basically without caring about the consequences or someone's feelings or concern for the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how we tend to kill children's talents, right? We don't even realize we're doing it, but we are doing it, right? And he also mentions that, in his opinion, creativity now is as important in education as literacy. What is literacy?
So literacy is our ability to read and write. So, you know, when we start school, you know, that's the first thing that they teach us. We should know how to read and we should know how to write.
Nice. Yeah. So going over this first point, do you have any opinions or thoughts about this, Kasey?
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned it earlier, like as a parent, this is something that like immediately sticks out in my mind. It's at the forefront of my mind when I think about my child's education, because I want to encourage him to be able to enjoy the things that he not only is good at, but the things that he likes. Mm-hmm. So I know in this talk, what stood out for me most was that is the idea of allowing children to do the things that they enjoy. And that, you know, our education system often limits us in terms of prioritizing certain skills and subjects. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, like I said, with my mathematics classes, I wasn't very good at it because I had a teacher who just made me feel like I wasn't good at it. I always felt like I was probably, you know, not going to amount to anything in life, because that's kind of what the system teaches us, is that, you know, you have to be good at maths, science. Those are the subjects that you need to be good at, you know, technology these days. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to work in those kinds of fields, and not realizing that creativity is as important, because if you want to be someone who can design and create, you need to be able to, you know, be good at other things, you know, other than math and science.
Yeah, because, you know, at the beginning of that talk, he starts by saying that the schools and education in general is supposed to be preparing kids for life, for the future, right? But the truth is, we don't know what the future is going to look like in 5 years, not even in 1 year. So, you know, what is the best way to prepare our kids for this future? By, you know, encouraging them to be more creative, because we're going to need a lot of creativity, right, in order to solve the complex problems that we have in the world nowadays and in the future, right? You used a really nice expression there. You said to amount to something, yeah? Like, you know, some of the teachers made you feel that you wouldn't amount to anything. What does it mean to amount to anything or to amount to something in life?
To amount to something is sort of like to become something, like you're the end result. Like, you wouldn't grow up to be someone successful in life.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, yeah. So a second point that Ken Robinson makes in this talk is that in order for you to be creative, you need to be prepared to be wrong. And I really love this. He says, if you're not prepared to be wrong, you will never come up with anything original. And by the time they get to be adults, most kids have lost that capacity. They have become frightened of being wrong. And we run our companies like this.
He says, we stigmatize mistakes, and we're now running national education systems where mistakes are the worst thing you can make. And the result is that we are educating people out of their creative capacities. Very, very interesting point he makes here. You read, they have become frightened of being wrong. What does it mean to be frightened of something?
To be extremely scared of something. It's not just to be scared, but to be very, very scared, you know? So the way we are teaching kids at schools nowadays, yeah, it seems like mistakes are the worst thing you can do. So kids, they grow up already being frightened or extremely afraid of making mistakes or being wrong.
Yeah, this is true. Sad reality, I think.
And Cassie, the part that you read there, you start by saying that we stigmatize mistakes. What does it mean to stigmatize something?
So if you stigmatize someone, you have given that person a label. You're basically labeling them as being bad or having something that they should be ashamed of. So to be stigmatized means that you are unfairly regarded by people as a particular bad quality or trait.
Yeah, we are talking about mistakes, right? So it's almost like somebody makes a mistake and then they go like, ooh, you made a mistake. Ooh, you made a mistake. Oh my God, you know? This is kind of stigmatizing it. Like, you know, you are kind of shunning the person or being judgmental, yeah, because the person made a mistake.
Exactly. It's like we spoke about, like I said, like with math. Oh my gosh, math was like a monster for me in my younger days. I really wanted to be good at it, but I felt like it was that stigma because my teacher said I was, you know, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't, and I just always felt like there was nothing I could do. And instead of going, okay, so you're not maybe good at this, you know, it's okay. You're still good at that. I just kept having this sort of, so in that case, yeah, it's a stigma.
True. It
stays with you.
And something else you said is that the result is that we are educating people out of their creative capacities. What does it mean to educate someone out of something?
So if you educate someone out of something, you're basically, you're almost taking away the creativity and you're forcing that person to conform to a particular curriculum, a particular structure. It's like you're teaching them to be a certain way, educating people out of. You're teaching them a new way of being. You're telling them no more dance, no more singing, no more music lessons. This is the world you need to live in. This is what the skills you need to be successful in this world.
Mm-hmm. All right. And what's the third point here, Kasey, that we have?
So the third point is that he talks about the main purpose of public education is to get you into college. So can you read the extract?
Yeah, sure. So the whole purpose of public education throughout the world is to produce university professors, he says. I like university professors, but you know, we shouldn't hold them up as the high water mark of all human achievement. They're just a form of life. It's funny when he says that, actually.
You said that we shouldn't hold them up as the high watermark of all human achievement. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a long phrase here. So first of all, when you hold someone up, you kind of you put this person on a pedestal. Yeah, you put this person on a pedestal, you hold them up, like, you know, you look up to them like, ooh, that's the definition of success, something like that, you know? And then he's saying that we shouldn't hold university professors up like this as the high water mark. The high water mark is like the highest level of something that you can achieve, right? So, and human achievement, yeah, or human success, he says, right? So we shouldn't view becoming a university professor as the ultimate goal or the ultimate definition of success for you. That's his point that he's making here. But I know you have some thoughts on this, right, Kase? What would you say about that?
I loved this part where he was talking about, like, you know, these professors who have all this knowledge, or teachers in general. I love this particular part of the talk where he was talking about teachers or professors who have this knowledge, and but they're so in their heads, like they don't know how to actually use or they don't have any practical skills in the real world, or they don't even know maybe how to impart that knowledge, you know, when they're teaching their students. They don't know how to make that knowledge tangible or practical for their students. And I thought this was a really great point because he goes on to sort of, we need to sort of like separate the idea of teaching versus learning. So he says, like, just because you're teaching doesn't mean that the student is learning. And I love that. I love this entire part where he like really goes into like this topic. But yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And, you know, we can actually connect this point, Kase, with what we do here in real life. Yeah? Because, you know, the real life way, our teaching methodology, our teaching philosophy, is part of that is that, right? Like, you know, teaching you English that you can use in real life or in real world, in the real world, right? And that's maybe one of the issues with traditional language schools. Yeah, they don't teach you the language skills that you need to operate well in the real world, right? It's just all too theoretical, yeah?
Yeah, this is very true. So I think the important thing is as teachers is that, you know, the aim should always be, or the focus should always be on the learning and not on the, not so much on the teaching. Because we can teach, but if the student isn't learning, then we're not doing a great job.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
So with that said, let's move over to the shout-out today.
All right, so the shout-out today goes to Leticia Souza. And Leticia says, this is the best learning English app ever. I recommend it to all of my students, and most of them love it. Whenever I want to talk to foreigners in English, they are just one button away from me.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you for the shout out, Leticia. This is really great to know that you love the app so much.
Yeah, and you know, a funny comment here, Leticia is also the name of my wife. And my wife's name is also called Leticia. So, you know, I imagine that Leticia here is Brazilian, maybe. Yeah, I think it's a Brazilian name. Yeah.
Okay. We have some Leticias in South Africa, too.
You do? Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
I'm going to tell my wife that, you know? I didn't know that.
Thank you so much, Leticia. We really appreciate that. And if any of you listeners would like us to shout you out on the next episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, because this also helps other people have fun learning with us. Also, make sure you download our app. You can listen to the podcast with interactive transcripts and speak English with people around the world at the touch of a button. The app has got an average rating of 4.9 stars on the Apple Store, and many people are loving it, like Leticia. So download it now and head over to Apple App Store or Google Play Store and search for Real Life English. So the final point that we have for today is that we have to move away from a single perception of academic intelligence. So Sir Robinson says, intelligence is diverse. We think about the world in all the ways that we experience it. We think visually, we think in sound, we think kinesthetically. We think in abstract terms, we think in movement.
Intelligence is dynamic. The brain isn't divided into compartments. In fact, creativity, which I define as the process of having original ideas that have value, more often than not comes about through the interaction of different disciplinary ways of seeing things.
Intelligence is distinct.
Very nice, right? Because, you know, what he's questioning here in the talk is that society as a whole has this perception of intelligence that is solely based on academic achievement. So being an intelligent person means being academically intelligent. But what he's questioning here is that, I mean, we shouldn't have this one singular conception of intelligence because, again, intelligence is diverse, dynamic, and distinct.
You said more often than not, the value comes about through the interaction of different disciplinary ways of seeing things. So what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess disciplinary ways, he means different subjects, right? Different school subjects or different areas of study, right? So his point here is that if you want to be creative or if you want to be innovative, if you want to innovate in the world, ideally, you should draw from different subjects or different disciplinary subjects, right? For example, not having that idea that, okay, I am graduated in this area, I have a degree in this area, and that's all I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and I'm not going to learn anything else, you know? So more often than not, innovation comes from combining two apparently distinct areas, combining those and then forming something new or creating something new with that. That's how innovation happens, basically.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think that it's important to be well-rounded. And like I mentioned, I wasn't the best at math, but it's not that I cannot count. You know, you have to have, you know, it's the same with literacy. That's why I like that he said, you know, there it's equally important. He didn't say creativity is more important. He said it's equally important. So we have to have that foundation of these, you know, school subjects. We need it. We need it. It's not that he's trying to say, you know, don't go to school, don't learn the in the traditional way. It can be valuable in some sense, but it's also valuable to nurture the creativity within these young learners, especially.
Yeah, yeah. So let's picture, for example, an entrepreneur, you know, who is very business oriented, but who plays guitar, for example, you know, who has this artistic side. Now, combining these two areas, they seem like very unrelated, but, you know, that can help you, you know, be more innovative in what you do, you know? Like you said, well-rounded, right? It's a great word, yeah? More well-rounded or balanced as an individual. So to conclude, this is what he says at the end of the talk. What Ted celebrates is the gift of the human imagination. We have to be careful now that we use this gift wisely and that we avert some of the scenarios that we've talked about. And the only way we'll do it is by seeing our creative capacities for the richness they are and seeing our children for the hope that they are.
And our task is to educate their whole being so they can face this future. By the way, we may not see this future, but they will. And our job is to help them make something of it.
It's a great way to finish our talk, right?
Perfect way. Yeah. This is really a fun episode, a really fun topic to talk about. It's something that I personally love. So I definitely think we should do something on education again or another fun TED Talk that really digs deep into these kinds of topics. So we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we hope to see you or hear from you again next week. 1, 2, 3.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.